something. All right, we're going to look in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We want to look at a message entitled Remember Thy Creator. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Our text verse will be verse 1 tonight. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets, and when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid, and that which is not high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and a desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and mourners go about the streets. Wherever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us the word of God. I pray that you'd help us to glean some very practical thoughts and truths tonight about remembering our Creator. And Lord, certainly the world has so many distractions it brings in our life and into our way. And Lord, it's easy to slip away and forget about the goodness and the blessings of our God. And so I pray you remind us about those things tonight. May we have a new spirit created in us, Lord. May we experience an anointing and move of the Spirit of God in our life. And Lord, I just pray we might be able to wake up every morning reminding ourselves, Lord, of how good our God is. And throughout the day, Lord, we would have our soul refreshed as we would ponder and remember the things that God has done for us. And so, Lord, I pray you speak to us in a special way tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Remember thy Creator. Verse 1 is our text. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So remember thy Creator. Solomon, we know, is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. And he is certainly considered, as we've often talked and you've studied the Bible, and often commentators will make comments in reference to the fact that many consider Solomon to be one of the wisest men on all the earth. He's really making a plea here in this chapter as he closes the book of Ecclesiastes, begging for us all to use all of our opportunities to serve the Creator. To live our life in the center of the reality of who God is and what God has done and can do and will do in our life. Remember thy Creator. And he's writing in this chapter, he's reflecting on the reality of what age brings along with it. And that's always an exciting topic. Amen. And he knows what age brings, and it's not good. Amen. That's funny. My dad said years ago, he said, boy, this getting old isn't for the faint of heart. And I was like, well, amen, Dad. You really encouraged me there. And I was only 20 years younger than my dad. He was 20 years old when I was born. I'm like, man, I'm not too far off from what you're talking about here. But anyway, Solomon is writing in reference to that, and he reminds us that as the days go by, the ages go by, we need to continue to remember our Creator. And in verse 3, he's dealing with when age brings feebleness. In other words, weak strength. He says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong man shall bow themselves. In other words, he doesn't have the strength, the ability to defend himself as he used to be able to. And when those days come and you don't have that strength upon you anymore, then you need to remember your Creator. And it's an amazing thought that as time marches by, we go to through our peak seasons of strength and zeal and excitement and energy. And then as time passes by, we start to lose that energy and that strength. And so he says, now listen, when you start to feel feeble, you start losing your strength as age catches up with you, remember your Creator. Not only feebleness, but he deals with darkness. In verse 3, he says, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. And in other words, they're losing their eyesight. They can't see like they used to see. Things aren't as bright as or as sharp as they used to be. When those things start to take place, then we need to remind ourselves of who our Creator is. He has not abandoned us. He does not forsake us. And in every stage of life, Solomon is trying to help us to understand that every stage of life, God is there with us. And so whether we're a young man or older man or whatever, whatever stage of life you're in, remember thy Creator. And so when feebleness comes, when darkness comes, letter C is deafness, poor hearing. In verse 4 it says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of grinding is low, hard of hearing. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and the daughters of music shall be brought low. And my wife's all the time telling me I'm losing my hearing. I don't believe her. I hear what I want to hear, amen? I hear everything exactly clearly what I want to hear, amen. But he says, now wait a minute, whether it's feebleness, darkness, deafness, whatever, remember your Creator. And we have a tendency as time marches by to start forgetting who God is and what God can do. And so remember thy Creator. He deals letter D there with verse 5 and 6 of unsureness. Unsureness. In verse 5, it says, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high. I can associate with that. I remember when I was a kid, I'd run across the beams of my dad's barn. Nothing in the barn. We had ropes we'd hook to the peak of the barn, and we'd swing from one beam all the way over to the other beam, like we were Tarzan or something, you know. And we weren't afraid. My mom would yell at us all the time, you're going to hurt yourself. And she'd yell at my dad, why are you letting those boys go up there? And he's, they're all right, you know. You can't get me to get on a 6-foot ladder today, amen. Forget it. Why? I'm not as sure and as steady as I used to be, amen. And so he says, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go out into the streets. He's saying, when you're unsure about life, you start getting unsteady. You start experiencing a lack of confidence like you used to have. When that takes place, remember thy Creator, because God's still on your side and he's still with you. And then E is deliverance. And in verse 7 it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And so as we progress through life, as we go through the years, we experience changes in our life, and ultimately at the end, we die, because it's appointed a man but once to die. But remember this, even at that moment, the body goes back to the dust from whence it came, but our spirit goes back to God. It is God who breathed in the nostrils of man. He became a living soul. And when we depart from this life, we go back into the presence of God. So remember your Creator. It doesn't matter what stage of life you may be in. Remember thy Creator. He is saying that we must serve the Lord with all of our strength. When we're strong, and that's why he starts out in verse 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And so instead of waiting until you start experiencing all of these other things that we experience as age creeps onto us, while you're young, then serve God. Do something for God while you're young. And don't wait till you're older. Do what you can at the time that God impresses it upon your heart. People always are like, has this idea, well, I'll serve the Lord later. You know, we tell our kids, well, when you become an adult. No, they need to serve God right now. And you, as a parent, need to be teaching your children how to serve God where they are at that stage in their life. It ought to be a natural thing that our teenagers have a heart to serve God, so as when they become a young adult, they're not looking to pursue everything else that the world has to offer them out there. Their attitude, their heart's throb is that, wait a minute, I need to remember my Creator, whether I'm a teenager or whether I'm in my parents' homes or whether I'm out on my own or whether I'm married, whether I have children, don't have children, or whether I'm a senior saint. Whatever stage of life I am, I need to remember that at that very moment, God wants me to do something for Him. And so He's challenging us to serve Him while we're strong. Billy Graham said this, Scripture is filled with examples of men and women whom God used late in life, often with great impact, men and women who refused to use old age as an excuse to ignore what God wanted them to do. And it's just always interesting. We always have all those excuses, no matter what age we are, what stage we are in life, we have all the excuses about why we can't do something for God. I work too many hours, have too many responsibilities, I'm not old enough, I'm not smart enough, I didn't go to Bible college, I didn't memorize scripture. But you have to understand, Sunday's my only day off. I mean, we have all these excuses. That's an old song, a quartet song, excuses, excuses. People make them all the time. And there is no room for excuse. And Solomon is just saying this, you need to remember your Creator in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And so, striving to remember our Creator. Notice, first of all, we need to remember our Creator in my innocence. And that's your first point. When Adam and Eve were created in the garden, that whole time period of them being in the garden, when you look at the Bible and you start studying it in reference to dispensations in the Bible, the time of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden was identified as the age of innocence. And so in my innocence, I need to serve the Lord. I need to remember my God. And while the evil days come not, in other words, before it gets to a point where I can't do something for God, I need to do something for God. And I've talked to so many people over the years, and people have these conversations of regret because they didn't do certain things when they were younger. They didn't do certain things when they had the opportunity. They didn't serve God when God opened the door. Well, in my innocent state, I need to surrender my life to serve God. I need to remember who He is and what He has planned for me. And here's a couple of thoughts. There's the danger of forgetting. If we do not surrender our life, we do not serve the Lord, if we don't commit our ways to God, there is a danger that we'll forget about who God is and what He has to do in our life. And that's why Solomon is saying, don't forget the Lord. You need to remember thy Creator. And Adam and Eve had a problem because they were created in the image of God. They were in the presence of God. They enjoyed everything that God had created. But when the temptation came, they had a memory loss at that moment. They forgot who their Creator was. And as a result of it, Adam and Eve forgot about God's provision in their life. In Genesis chapter 2 in verse 9, it says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. See, when Satan came and tempted them, they had a memory lapse of how God had provided for them. God gave them everything they needed to sustain life. And the danger is this, that as time goes by, we start to forget about the goodness of God. We start to forget about how God has provided for us. As time goes by, we start going into those later years and we start worrying about how we're going to continue on and how we're going to be able to be provided for. And we start becoming fearful, we become distressed. We end up allowing things to get out of control in our life, and it's because we just simply forgot that the God that provided for us in the early years is the God that will provide for us in the latter years also. And so I need to be careful that I don't forget about what God has done. And that's why it's good, I think, to share testimonies. I think that's why it's good to testify of what God's done, share it with others, because if you're not careful, you forget that God has moved in a great way in your life. He has set you free. He's released you from the bondage of sin. He has provided for you over and over again. So don't forget about God's provision in your life. The second thing I say, number two there, is Lot had forgotten God. And Lot had forgot God's blessings. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together." We often talk about the wealth of Abraham. But you realize what wealth Lot had? Lot had so much that literally there was between him and Abraham, there was no possible way for the land to sustain them. And it was creating conflicts. And so in verse 7 it says, "There was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for they be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take to the left, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest down unto Zoar. So what does he do? He's looking up and he's looking on the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's seeing the glory and the wealth that is there, and that's where he's going to run to settle, because he thinks that's where the blessings are going to come. He forgot that God was blessing him when he was in the wilderness. God was blessing him when he was with his uncle Abraham. And he looks out down at the Sodom and Gomorrah and thinks that's where he ought to set on. Sometimes this is what happens. We go through life and then we come to those later years, and then we start looking to other areas that we think are better suited for us than continuing to walk with God. We think we can do better in living our lives apart from God because we forget his blessings. And then we get ourselves in a dangerous situation and we end up losing the blessings of God, as Lot will lose everything. I mean, Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah did not profit one thing when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He lost everything. And he needed to remember his Creator, that he did not have to go to a place like Sodom and Gomorrah, because God could bless him wherever he was. And so the danger of forgetting is that God's provision, the danger of forgetting God's blessing. And David forgot God's command in 2 Samuel In chapter 11, as we go through life, life changes, and we forget the commands of God. I was listening to this interview. It must have been in England. They sounded like they were in England. They had an English accent, and they had a transgender guy there who thought he was a woman, but he was a guy. And they had a doctor there who was a Christian who lost his job because he would not endorse and support transgenderism. And these news commentators were questioning him, and I thought it was interesting, the questioning, the line of questioning. And they said this to him. They said, "So you're taking their position from a medical position?" He said, "Absolutely, as a medical position. It doesn't matter what you try to become. If you're born a man or you're born a woman. But I'm also, as a Christian, this goes against my faith." And they said this to him: "You have to understand that the world is changing." And he said, "Well, the world may be changing, but my faith isn't changing. Even if it means I have to lose my job, the reality is Christians need to take a stand because I have a right to have my opinion about what I believe according to my religion." And they were all over him and says, "Yes, but you're a doctor and you have taken an oath that you will help people irregardless of who they are or what they are." He said, "That does not mean I violate my Christian conscience." Now, I'm going to tell you, as the years go by, the world is changing. But the reality is God's commands have not. In David's life, he forgot about God's command because 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. See, David got himself into that mess simply because David forgot his Creator. He forgot the command that God had given, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And I'm afraid what is happening as the time goes by, as these years go by, we forget our Creator because we forget how He can provide for us. We forget how He can bless us. And we forget that time does not change the demands and the commands and the statutes and the ordinances of God. They don't change. And it's an alarming thing because I've watched over the years that as time goes by, as someone's children get older, and as people grow older, that they have a tendency to bend and go along with the influence of what's going on in their children's lives and their grandchildren's lives. And I'm going to tell you, as a result of it, I'm watching children and grandchildren not accepting Christ and not surrendering their life to Christ because of the fact everybody's willing to bend what God's requirements are to feel acceptable within our society in which we live. God's commands don't change. So as the days get older, as you get older, you might be 30 years old, you might be 50 years old, you might be 80 years old. God has not changed what He has commanded. And so we hold to that. Don't forget God's commands. Number four, parents forget God's heritage. Children still are a heritage from the Lord, amen. In Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved with sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward as arrows are in the hand of the Almighty, hand of the mighty man, so are children of thy youth. And children still are a heritage of the Lord, and people can state that it's okay to abort children, but they're still a human being, they still life that God created, and they are your heritage. They are God's blessing upon you. And I was listening to an interview of some people talking about abortion, and this guy was talking with this guy who believed that it was okay to have abortion. He said, you realize that they, at this stage in time, that they literally, babies that are in the womb that need surgery on their heart or whatever it may be, they actually have been able to remove the child from the womb, do the surgery, and put the child back in the womb so it can go to full term and be born. And so he said, oh, now let me ask you this. If you believe in abortion at any time, in any stage, and you don't think it's right to kill a child that when it's outside the womb, once it's born, it's a human being, but while it's in the womb, it's not a human being. What about that child they brought out, did surgery, and put it back in? Is that child a human being who was operated on, or is it simply a fetus that now somebody can decide to abort it? He said, well, if it's in the womb, it can be aborted. I mean, we have lost all sense of reason and common sense. And it's because we have forgot the Creator. And God still says that children are a heritage of the Lord. Let me challenge you with this. Don't complain about your kids. If they're unruly, it's your fault. Straighten them out. Complain about yourself. Don't complain about your grandchildren. That's a little bit easier, amen? Why? Because look at them as the blessings that God has sent. They're your heritage. They are God's reward in your life. And so remember, don't forget God's heritage. There's a danger in forgetting. We forget what God has blessed us with. D.L. Moody said this, we can stand affliction better than we can prosperity, for in prosperity we forget God. And that's the problem. We have become so far removed from God that we think we can do everything ourselves, and we've forgotten God's provision, his blessings, his commands, his heritage. We've forgotten all those things, and it's because that we have prospered in this world. God has blessed us greatly in this nation, and we have flourished, and so we don't think we need God. We're going to find out real quick, though, we do. John Piper said this, one of the greatest enemies of hope is forgetting God's promises. And we're seeing a world that is falling into the pits of despair, and it's because we no longer know what those promises are. So there's a danger in forgetting. Letter B is simply this, there's deliverance in remembering. And that's why Solomon tells us, remember now thy Creator, and make sure you remember your Creator while the evil days come not. So before you get to a point where you've completely forgotten God, remind yourself of who he is. Deliverance in remembering. Number one there, David, when he needed encouragement, 1 Samuel chapter 30, when they were talking of stoning him because their children and their wives were taken captive and Ziklag was burned, the city was on fire. His men that was following David were ready to stone him because of all that had taken place. But in that very moment, David remembered his God. In that very moment, it says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So there is always deliverance, and God would lead them to restore their children and their families back from the enemy. And so there's always deliverance in remembering thy Creator. And so David, when he needed encouragement, he remembered his God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when faced with a decision, the filling his decision, to serve only the true God, they remembered their God. They didn't forget about their God. And certainly they were commanded, they were threatened, that they had to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 14, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "It is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image what I've set up." Now, if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And here it is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God." There was a difference. And they remembered their God. "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not..." See, they were completely trusting in God's provision, his protection, and whatever they needed. And they were secure in whatever God chose to do. They were satisfied with it. "God, our God, can deliver us, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." See, deliverance comes when we remember who our God is. When you remember thy creator, you can make a decision when you have to stand all by yourself. You can make a decision to stay with God when everyone else is going against God. And so remember thy creator. Daniel, when he gave God the glory, he remembered his God when he gave God the glory. In Daniel chapter 6, well, I'm never going to get through here, but I don't get moving. Daniel chapter 6, we know he is thrown into the lion's den. And literally as a result of God delivering him out of the lion's den, Daniel reminds the king that it was his God, and the king bows down and worships the God of Daniel. So there's deliverance when you decide to remember your God and giving God the glory, making the decision that you're going to surrender and worship him only. And when you need encouragement, you remember the God who saved you and delivered you. Then Jesus, when revealing the priority of his life, his parents came to him when he was a 12-year-old boy in the temple. He said, "Wish you not that I was about my father's business?" The priority in his life he established. A.W. Tozer said this, "True faith rests upon the character of God and asks no farther proof that the moral perfections of the one who cannot lie. It is enough that God has said it." You talk about conviction. You talk about taking a stand. You talk about remembering thy creator. You acknowledge the fact that God is able. Notice he goes on. A.W. Tozer went on to say this, "The basic trouble with church today is her unworthy concept of God. Our religion is weak because our God is weak. Christianity at any given time is strong or weak depending on her concept of God." So deliverance comes when we remember our creator. Power is experienced when we remember our creator. We cannot live apart from the reality of who our God is. He is still on the throne. He is still in control. He has still a revealed prophecy of what this world's going to be. And yes, it's getting worse. And yes, it's getting difficult. And yes, it seems everything's falling apart. But that's what God said would happen. When you see these things, look up. Behold, your redemption draweth nigh. So in my innocence, I don't want to forget my creator. In my existence, notice he says in our text, "nor the years draw nigh." So my existence is the years are always rapidly coming upon me. Amen. It's amazing how time that my dad used to say, I used to think this about old people years ago. And I used to think of this, that, well, you know, they always say that time moves faster when you get older. It does not. It's 24 hours in a day. Well, I don't know how it happens. It does move faster. Amen. And when the years are drawing nigh, remember your Creator. First of all, preparation. Here's stages of life. Stages of life here in these things. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, and not depart from it. So there's that preparation time when that child is young, when you're tender and dependent upon your parents. And then there's the duplication, as Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in these thee also. And so there is a preparation time where you're teaching and training and nourishing that young person as they're growing in the faith. There's a time where they take on the responsibility to share their faith in Christ and impact others, just like your life impacts their life. And then there's the obligation in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 12, the obligation to be an example to the believer. He says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. And then after that obligation is fulfilled, there's the expectation in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. So through every stage in life, I don't forget my Creator. Why? Because my life is but a vapor. It appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. I think the greatest thing that we can do is to help our young people to understand how important it is to remind themselves who God is. I think it's the greatest thing we can do as adults, whatever stage you're in, is to remind ourselves who God is. God has a plan. Charles Spurgeon said this, when you have no helpers, see your helpers in God. When you have many helpers, see God in your helpers. When you have nothing but God, see all in God. When you have everything, see God in everything. Under all conditions, stay thy heart only on the Lord. I said, man, I guess you swallowed that thing down pretty good. All the way through every stage in life, in your existence, you remember your Creator. John Wesley said, one of the principal rules of religion is to lose no occasion of serving God. And since he is invisible to our eyes, we are to serve him in our neighbor, which he receives as if done to himself in a person standing visibly before us. My existence, I live out the character and the person of who Christ is. I don't forget my Creator. And then in my preference, he says here, remember thy Creator in the days of the youth, while the evil days come not. In other words, you're not old yet. You're young, you're strong, you're vibrant. Before those days that start hindering you physically, come serve your Lord. Remember your Creator. Nor when the years draw nigh. So as you're going through the stages in life, don't forget about your God. Remember your Creator. And he said, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, all of a sudden you say, you know what? Time isn't being too good to me anymore. Before you get to that stage, he says, in your preference, my preference is I wish I was 30 years old again. Amen. I really do. I wish I was 40 years old again. And just thinking back of the energy, the excitement, the thrill, the daringness, everything that I had back then. You think I'm bad now? You should have seen me 20, 30 years ago. Amen. And, you know, not scared of anything. Launch out by faith and trusting God. I don't care if God wants me to go somewhere or do something. It's all right. I'm going to do it. But listen, before you get to the place where you despise that type of a thing, you better remind yourself of your Creator. And I'm still telling the Lord, I don't care, God, what you want to do in my life, whatever it is, you show me and I'll do it. You open the door, I'm going through it. Whatever it is God wants me to do. Notice, first of all, Joshua made a choice to serve the Lord. Now let's remember that Joshua was 80 years old when he went into Canaan. And let's remember that Joshua wasn't a real young man at the time when he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Remember Ruth made a choice to identify with the Lord. She tells Naomi, she said, "Your people will be my people," but she also said this, "Your God will be my God." And so I need to not forget my Creator in making choices in serving God and identifying with Him. Let her see there, Elijah challenged the people to make a choice to follow the Lord. He said, "If God be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, then you follow Him." You need to choose. How long halt you between two opinions? You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. Either you're all in as a Christian or you're all in as a worldly person. How long are you going to halt yourself between two opinions? Remember thy Creator. Letter D, Jesus challenged his disciples about the choice their peers had made. In John chapter 6, they had fed them 5,000, and after their bellies were full, they all left, and he turns to the disciples and says, will you also go away? Will you also go away? Peter's response was, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." See, at that very moment when the challenge came in reference to the peer pressure of walking away from Christ, Jesus challenged him, "Are you going to walk away too?" And Peter said, "Wait a minute, Lord, I remember my Creator. Where are we going to go? You have the words of life." So whatever stage of life we're in, we need to remember our Creator. Oswald Chambers said this, "We are too free from wonder nowadays to easy with the Word of God. We do not use it with the breathless amazement Paul does." Now, I was preaching on that a little bit on Sunday night about what brings worship. We don't have to be easy with the Word of God. We don't have to live a life that's shadowed by decay and disappointment, disillusionment. We can be amazed at the things of God. We serve an awesome God. God has been doing some things that many people have no idea what God has been doing. And I'm telling you, God is a God of miracles, and God is doing miracles every week. And we need to stand in amazement in reference to who He is. G. Campbell Morgan said this, "The deepest passion of the heart of Jesus was not the saving of men, but the glory of God. And then the saving of men, because that is for the glory of God." I think many times we just kind of put the cart before the horse. And we just need to let Jesus be Jesus. Let Him sit on the throne of our hearts. And we just remember who He is and allow Him to direct us. And it doesn't matter what your age is. Young, old, middle, whatever. God wants to do something in your life, and He will do something in your life if you just remember who He is. Amen. Well, I hope that was a help to you tonight. And